Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Three dots where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put quite in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
It is common to hear America called a democracy. However, America is not a democracy. She is a constitutional republic. Some may claim there is really no difference between a democracy and a republic, but that is a false claim. Maybe, if Americans understood the difference between a democracy and a republic, people wouldn't just roll their eyes and shake their heads when they hear politicians, talking heads, and professors call us a democracy. Americans would be upset. The founders of America established America as a constitutional republic for one main reason. Their ultimate goal was to preserve liberty for future generations. They knew from their own personal experience that a kingdom style of government doesn't preserve liberty. When you live in a kingdom, the king holds all the power, and he's the one to hand out the rights and the privileges to the people as he sees fit. When the king has the power to give, he also holds the power to take away. When you live in a kingdom, you only get what you have. You only keep what you have with permission of the king. A constitutional republic is the opposite of a kingdom. In a constitutional republic, the people have the authority to give government power, and they have the authority to take it away. The Declaration says, "And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish." Because in a constitutional republic, laws are made with the consent of the people through their representatives, who are constrained by the rule of law. The people are to have equal representation, an equal voice. It is this principle of equality and equal representation that makes a constitutional republic the only government that can secure liberty. But where does a democracy fit in this analysis? You've got your kingdom over here. You've got your republic, or your constitutional republic over here. Where does the democracy fit? Is it similar to a republic? Is it somewhere in between a republic and a kingdom? In truth, there is really not much difference at all between a democracy and a kingdom. The only real difference between a democracy and a kingdom is how many people rule over you. In a kingdom, specifically a monarchy, the rule comes from one person. In a democracy, the rule comes from those who hold the most power. In spite of what we are taught, a democracy does not operate upon the principles of equality. Quite the opposite. A democracy operates with mob rule. Those who have the most power, or those who have the most people in their group, are the rulers over the minority. In a democracy, those in a majority hold all the power. And they hand out all the privileges and the rights to those in the minority. So if you live in a democracy and you are in a minority group, you have nothing unless the majority says you can have it. And you only keep what you have as long as the majority says you can keep it. If America were a democracy, Rosa Parks would still be sitting in the back of the bus or in a jail cell. In a democracy, minority groups never have a society-changing voice. That only happens when the government acknowledges that all men are created equal, and all laws must be created to ensure equal liberty and justice under those laws. A kingdom does not preserve liberty. It only preserves the power of the king and the servitude of the people. And a democracy does not preserve liberty. It only ensures that there will always be masters and always be slaves. Only in a constitutional republic is the government the subject of the people, and all people, even those in minority groups, can have a society-changing voice. If we want to make America great again, we must know who we are and where we came from. We must ensure that government knows its proper place, and the people know that their liberty and the liberty of our future is what we must secure. We must get educated to get liberated.
When you think about racial equality and civil rights, which political party comes to mind? The Republicans or the Democrats? Most people would probably say the Democrats, but this answer is incorrect. Since its founding in 1829, the Democratic Party has fought against every major civil rights initiative and has a long history of discrimination. The Democratic Party defended slavery, started the Civil War, opposed Reconstruction, founded the Ku Klux Klan, imposed segregation, perpetrated lynchings, and fought against the Civil Rights Acts of the 1950s and 1960s. In contrast, the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an anti-slavery party. Its mission was to stop the spread of slavery into the new Western territories with the aim of abolishing it entirely. This effort, however, was dealt a major blow by the Supreme Court in the 1857 case, Dred Scott versus Sandfoot. The court ruled that slaves aren't citizens, they're property. The seven justices who voted in favor of slavery, all Democrats. The two justices who dissented, both Republicans. The slavery question was, of course, ultimately resolved by a bloody civil war. The commander-in-chief during that war was the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, the man who freed the slaves. 6 days after the Confederate Army surrendered, John Wilkes Booth, a Democrat, assassinated President Lincoln. Lincoln's vice president, a Democrat named Andrew Johnson, assumed the presidency. But Johnson adamantly opposed Lincoln's plan to integrate the newly freed slaves into the South's economic and social order. Johnson and the Democratic Party were unified in their opposition to the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, the 14th Amendment, which gave blacks citizenship, and the 15th Amendment, which gave blacks the vote. All three passed only because of universal Republican support. During the era of Reconstruction, federal troops stationed in the South helped secure rights for the newly freed slaves. Hundreds of black men were elected to Southern state legislatures as Republicans, and 22 black Republicans served in the U.S. Congress by 1900. The Democrats did not elect a black man to Congress until 1935. But after Reconstruction ended, when the federal troops went home, Democrats roared back into power in the South. They quickly reestablished white supremacy across the region with measures like black codes, laws that restricted the ability of blacks to own property and run businesses, and they imposed poll taxes and literacy tests used to subvert black citizens' right to vote. And how was all of this enforced? By terror, much of it instigated by the Ku Klux Klan, founded by a Democrat, Nathan Bedford Forrest. As historian Eric Foner, himself a Democrat, notes, in effect, the Klan was a military force serving the interests of the Democratic Party. President Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, shared many views with the Klan. He resegregated many federal agencies and even screened the first movie ever played at the White House, the racist film, The Birth of a Nation, originally entitled The Klansman. A few decades later, the only serious congressional opposition to the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964 came from Democrats. 80% of Republicans in Congress supported the bill, less than 70% of Democrats did. Democratic senators filibustered the bill for 75 days until Republicans mustered the few extra votes needed to break the logjam. And when all of their efforts to enslave blacks, keep them enslaved, and then keep them from voting had failed, the Democrats came up with a new strategy. If black people are going to vote, they might as well vote for Democrats, as President Lyndon Johnson was purported to have said about the Civil Rights Act, I'll have them voting Democrat for 200 years. So now, the Democratic Party prospers on the votes of the very people it has spent much of its history oppressing. Democrats falsely claim that the Republican Party is the villain, when in reality, it's the failed policies of the Democratic Party that have kept blacks down. Massive government welfare has decimated the black family. Opposition to school choice has kept them trapped in failing schools. Politically correct policing has left black neighborhoods defenseless against violent crime. So when you think about racial equality and civil rights, which political party should come to mind? I'm Carol Swain, professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University for Prager University. Thanks for watching. To keep our videos free, click here.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com and over at peopleforpeople.ning.com as well. You know, when you get close to the truth, people start in on the monkey business. They don't really like monkey. They don't like you to say certain things. So, monkey business, shenanigans, whatever you want to call them, you know, they have begun. But it's all right. We'll get through this thing here. We always do. And, you know, so, you know, there's a lot of people out there that say that we would be better off if we didn't have any government. Well, you know, I guess that would be a good thing, supposedly. But, you know, even if we do have to have a government, you at least need to know what type of government you got in order to protect it. You heard a couple little podcasts prior to coming on live here about one about the United States not being a democracy, that it is a representative republic. Well, the problem that you get, you have a lot of people, including senators and congressmen and women and mainstream media, that are constantly calling us a democracy. And if you listen around the globe, you'll hear that pretty much as well, too. People around the world, hey, we have a democracy. We've got to protect our democracy. But words have power. There's a couple serious different meanings in both the difference republic and a constitutional republic and a democracy. And so I'm not gonna get all up into that. If you're really interested in knowing the difference, there's plenty of information out there, and you will get opposing views on whether the United States is a democracy or not. But the founding fathers of this country basically set us up as a representative republic. You can go back and check in on the history of all that, and you'll be able to hear that. I keep getting booted out of my own chat rooms. Isn't that fun? Anyway, so United States is not a democracy. Stop calling it a democracy. Every time you call that United States a democracy, you basically give them more power. See, a representative republic is a small government that is by the consent of the governed. And if we don't like said government, we have it all set in place of the remedy on how we can get rid of said government. But the problem that a lot of people are experiencing these days, especially somebody who actually knows the Constitution and has paid attention in school and so on down the line, is that whether it be science or government issues, there's a big misleading whole lot of information going on out there. Constantly misleading the people. But after so many generations of being here in democracy this and democracy that, one would start to think that we really were a democracy. Somebody once said that if you tell a lie long enough, a big lie long enough, that people will start to believe it. And that's pretty much the case. That's what you're dealing with. If you don't know what type of government you have, how can you protect your rights and freedom? So this is an important subject that actually needs to talk about, you know, especially if you're living in the United States and you still believe we're a democracy, then you sure not done your research. That's sad, because your children and your children's freedom relies on some terminology. There's a big difference in terminology. You got a large government right now that is basically steering itself away from being a representative republic. It's more or less steering itself into a democracy. And if you find out the difference of it, once again, I'm not going to go into all the definitions of it, but you do the research on there, you might not want to use that word anymore. You might be a little bit concerned when you hear your supposed representation out there using that terminology. But like I said, after a while, you won't even know the difference. Your children's children won't even know the difference. There's adults my age and probably even older that don't know the difference. I was one of those young men that when I was in school, I paid attention to details, because the secrets are in the details. The devil's in the details, so to speak. If you pay attention, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Words are powerful. They're more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Those words right there mean the difference between your freedom and not. Some people like to call the Constitution a living document where we can just kind of go change it haphazardly at will whenever the public decides, you know, they want to change that document. But you have to look back and you have to see what it took to change things before and the ramifications of what happens after. So, you know, it's kind of a little heads up there. You know, I sat there I listen to the President of the United States, and I'll hear him talk about our democracy and stuff like that, and I'm basically shouting at the screen. Of course, I obviously know he can't hear me, but I do the same thing when the senators and the congressmen and women do that, because how are these folks in power when they don't even know the type of government that we here in the United States have? We have three branches of services. We got three branches of government: the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch of government. Those are all important to know. They are all important to know for each one of the uses of each government, the checks and balances that we have. And if you ain't up on that terminology, you don't know what each of the branches of government are for, you probably ought to get to looking at if you're a United States citizen, because eventually, you know, once you lose that freedom, once that document has been depleted, whether you believe we should have a government or not, you know, I think that people could probably govern themselves a heck of a lot better than the way the system has. Our system has gotten so incredibly large, it's so incredibly entangled, intertwined in our rights, our freedoms, even to the extent where the law enforcement don't even know their boundaries. When they take an oath to uphold and protect the United States Constitution, it's not just a ceremonial thing. That's a serious thing. And when they're acting outside of that authority, which is to protect the United States Constitution and violating the citizens' rights, the way that the system is set up now, they're protected from, you know, they're protected from prosecution under the good faith doctrine, as long as they think they're acting in good faith and they might make a mistake or whatever, they're protected. But most of these officers these days don't even realize that they're violating their oath of office. And the moment they violate their oath of office, they're no longer police officers. They're not standing in their oath anymore. They're not standing in that office. So the moment they're out of their oath of office, a lot of folks don't realize that. It's even said you're not supposed to follow an illegal order. If you know your commanding officer is giving you an order that is illegal, it is illegal for you to follow that order. A lot of folks don't know they even have that option. So a little bit of education could go a long ways for everybody to go back and really seriously research their own particular style government, whichever you got, you know. Some of you got parliaments and, you know, different types of governments that I wouldn't understand because, you know, I've been American for all my life, pretty much. You know, but I did pay attention in school. I paid attention in science class and all the others as well. But it's not just about the fact of the type of government we've got. It's the fact that most folks out there, I hate to use the word ignorant, but if it's used properly, it's not a bad thing. It's not meant to be derogatory. It just means that you don't know about a certain subject. You're not knowledgeable in a certain subject. And I really got to seriously be careful with my words, because a lot of people out there can actually take, you know, your words wrong. It's kind of crazy how you can say any given word, and depending on the tone and how that word is delivered, it could have a completely different meaning. And so this is why it's important that we bring this kind of subject up right here. The United States is not a democracy. Stop calling it one. If you're a representative of the United States, a senator, congressman, woman, or governor, or whatever, if you're just the average citizen, the average citizen should really stop calling it one. And I know there's a lot of people that want us to be a democracy, but when you actually start looking into the background and all this kind of stuff, you might be surprised at what you find out. And as far as, you know, a lot of the different things that are said about the Republican Party and so on, you know, that's why I played that other podcast in there, because, you know, Prager University, one thing I can say about them is that they're not biased in the way that they deliver their information. And So you could go and listen to them and see what you think, and you be the judge of that. And, you know, you might be surprised at the difference in history. We've been lied to. We've been scammed and propagandized for so long. I had another podcast with the mainstream media, and it's kind of wild to listen to because all these different news stations are all saying the same thing simultaneously on different channels, and they're lying to the people. They're propagandizing the people. And if you're just the average Joe out there who don't know any better or whatever, and that's the only bit of information, you're going to run around with a difference of opinion that's going to be contrary to somebody who's listening to another station that might have an opposing opinion on there. So whether it's painful or not, sometimes it's good to pay attention to you know, both sides of the story. I like to step back and I like to get the big picture. I want to know what everybody's saying so that I can formulate a closest to the truth as I can get, which is in this day and age is really hard to do because of all the different sources of news and media out there. And even when it comes down to any subject that you want to talk about, it doesn't matter what subject that you put out there, you'll find a counter view. You'll find those are for or against or biased views. And if you know what to look for, you'll start getting wiser about the way you actually seek information. So anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I'm not here by myself. I got this nice lady named Carlene on here. How you doing, Carlene? Get your mic.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, there you are. So, what did you think about any of that right there?
Well, being in the United Kingdom, I guess over here we have a completely different structure of government. I can understand what you're saying about, a constitutional republic rather than a democracy. Obviously, in England, which is also a fictitian,
yeah.
But we have a democracy and a kingdom because our parliament is ruled by the few, and those few are voted in a majority, so that makes it a democracy. But it's also a kingdom because we have a queen. Kind of a bizarre situation, really.
So it sounds like you got the best of both bad worlds.
Yeah, we've got the worst of it all, I think.
and I'm sure that you from being living all there over there all this time, you've seen a lot of the frustrations that we're actually starting to head towards. Before we ever even get there, you've already experienced it.
Yeah, well, you don't have any equity. I think in America at the moment you have some form of equity, or you have that in place. It's just whether you know how to use it and whether you use it or not.
Yeah, that's the whole entire thing. A lot of the folks, I get the fact that people support law enforcement and they support their country as a patriot and that kind of stuff there. But also the biggest thing is that what they really need to be paying attention to is how these governments can actually get out of control and be able to know that they actually have a remedy to that lack of control, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Most don't. They just, kind of just go along to get along, Hey, it's not bad that they diminish this right or that right to this extent if it's for protection. But somebody once said that anybody who would trade, freedom for security deserves neither, which is understandable considering the way that this country was actually founded to begin with, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You just gotta be informed.
Say that again, sir?
I said you just need to be informed. It doesn't matter what type of government you got. You need to know what your rights are. You need to know what the government can or can't do to you. Otherwise, they could just run right over the top of you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. And that's kind of the situation, you know, we have in the UK. You know, we can vote kind of however we like, but we're still under a hierarchical order. You know, so however you want to play it from a citizen's point of view, you still have that hierarchy in place. So yeah. You're still under that domination and control kind of agenda.
Yeah. Well, I wish there was a way that everyone could have their own representative republic. And the reason why a representative republic, in my opinion, is a good thing is because it's a small government. And it's only there by the consent of the governed. And they know their place in society. Their place is, you know, just to, you know, ensure that everybody gets equal representation and stuff. And then it even goes into the whole electoral college thing and to ensure that, you know, large states can't have more power than smaller states and everybody's equally, represented, then they have this electoral college that balances it all out when it's all said and done and gives you at least the fairest election possible. Otherwise, you know, basically whatever goes on in California would probably what is the standard for the whole entire deal, and we understand how California is probably so messed up right now because of the way that their system is, you know, and that's not what we were put together to be as far as the government wise.
Yeah, I think that when you've kind of got a government that's going against you know, its own rules, you've got to start questioning the government, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, and questioning you know, what are your rights? What can you do in order to kind of maintain your freedom?
Well, our last ditch remedy, which I know a lot of people are anti-gun. I get that. Now, you know, if guns are used responsibly and they're just used for defense, that's a good thing. But when they're, you know, they're abused, everything can be abused. But with that said, that Second Amendment wasn't put there for going out duck hunting and you know, going out target practicing or anything like that. What that doggone Second Amendment was there was a last line of defense for against a tyrannical government. And that, like I said, unfortunately, Lotto, I'm not one who advocates violence. I guarantee that. I don't want any violence. But without that right there, all the other rights and freedoms can be so depleted and a tyranny can set in and you're up against a military-industrial complex and you don't have a chance at being able to overthrow. Now, you got to be careful with those words, overthrow, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but that's what the Constitution, that's why the Second Amendment was in the Constitution, to basically let that government know that the people have the ultimate power and that if ever needed, that the people could actually, you know, change that government, if that makes any sense.
yeah, I mean, at least you have that.
Yeah, but
at least you have that as a last resort.
In your circumstance, you don't have a Second Amendment, do you?
No.
So, no. If you got upset at your government being tyrannical and you decided, well, it's time we need to change our government, you don't have a whole lot of options out there getting there except going out lobbying and hoping that, you know, enough people get together and the signs, you know, convince the government that they're doing wrong. But we've seen here in the United States, governments don't care if you're holding a picket sign, that they're making money off of you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and in the UK, you know, go back a few years, you know, we had millions of people out on the streets that were protesting against the war in Iraq.
Yeah. And they went anyway.
And it made not a blind bit of difference. We still went to war.
Yeah, they went anyway. Now, see, if we, the American citizens, decided that we were completely opposed to the war and it was almost a unanimous between us, we could stop it. We could flat out stop it right in its tracks. That's because of that Second Amendment. And, you know, like I said, I am not advocating anything remotely like violence. I oppose violence. I oppose these wars. These wars are ridiculous, especially when you get down to the roots of why these wars are even occurring to begin with. You know, most of it's over, you know, oil and resources and who's going to have their pipeline here or their natural gas line there or whatever. And it's basically buying for control. You know, they don't call it the petrodollar for nothing. We here in the United States were scammed out of having our money, instead of being backed by gold, backed by the oil market, you know. And a lot of people don't even realize that. They don't even understand that the Federal Reserve isn't even a government deal. It's a privately owned bank. And they loan us money. They loan our government money that we pay interest on. And that's why that debt keeps going higher and higher. And we're so far in debt that it would probably be a miracle if we could ever even pay that debt off. Literally.
Yeah. I think that's the thing is that people don't actually ask, you know, the question of, like, where does the government debt come from?
Yeah.
You know?
I know where it comes from.
Do our governments owe money too?
It comes from all those IOUs that we call dollar bills, you know? Heck, they don't even make real coins anymore. You go check out the modern day quarters and dimes and the nickels and pennies, and you'll find out the pennies are copper coated zinc. You know, it's not even a solid copper anymore. And so even our money, it's all phony money. But you know, without the people having the knowledge of how it was supposed to be. You know, a constitutionally based money system plus, the laws and all that kind of stuff. You know, there are people out there fighting for the rights. They're out there, going using all the branches of government the way that they were meant to be. You know, going to Congress or even to the Supreme Court if necessary. And, you know, so some battles are won and some battles are lost just depending on which side of the, whether it be the left wing or the right wing of the government system that the judges fall on, you know, liberal versus conservative or whatever. We've seen that throughout the history. But the thing I like about our government, even though there's two major parties, is that those checks and balances, at the very least, keep them arguing back and forth and buying us, the people, time to try to enjoy freedom and work our way towards what we should have been to begin with. So, it's kind of...
Yeah, but you got to also understand, I'm going to take that word back.
They've
got to know that, you know, that a lot of it is down to mind control. So it's not just, you know, people are ignorant. It's that they are deliberately put into hallucinatory states.
Yep. Basically, you know? I call the public education system government indoctrination because they're not teaching real science and real history in those schools. They're basically indoctrinating these kids to be good workers or good drones in the future. And, you know, not trying to, basically get them to be free-thinking individuals. They don't want free thinkers. They want workers.
Well, exactly. You know, that's what the whole education system was set up for, you know, is to put children through a system so that they could become a slave.
Yeah, that's
it. You know, and work in the factories.
As long as we have the illusion that we're free... You know, we live in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, so on down the line, blah, blah, I've heard it all. You know, I am a patriot, I love my country, I get all that, but I'm not naive anymore. I know what's going on, and we're in a desperate struggle to preserve the freedom that piece of paper said that we had. And that piece of paper isn't the ultimate. I feel all of our rights and our freedoms came from our Creator. That's the simple of it, but with that said, then we're living in this system, and so many people are indoctrinated to believe in so many crazy things via the mainstream media, even the alternative media to some extent, but mostly the mainstream media's lies and propaganda. And these two different government Democrats versus Republicans, and they call it the right wing and the left wing, and I say, well, but don't you want to understand that both of those wings are connected to the same doggone bird? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then you have things like the UN.
The UN's one of the organizations that really disturbs me the most. It concerns me. Now, when you hear United Nations, that sounds good at its, bringing us all together and all that kind of stuff. But when you get down to looking at the way that, they want to, like, try to form this one world government type system, one world banking system or whatever, it's not so pretty anymore. And the things that they do aren't necessarily on the up and up. I want each nation to be its own nation with its own laws, its own government. Those are the checks and balances. I want Russia to be Russia, China to be China, and America and UK and all these different nations to be their own nation, to have their people make their own rules. Now, I would like for you something better than the government you had to deal with. But it's not up to me, it's up to your people to decide if they want that.
Yeah, definitely. But I think, the British people are, we're kind of weak. we're all kind of stiff upper lip and just get on with it. You know, we haven't had a revolution. We've had a civil war, but we've never had a revolution, you know? So it's quite difficult here to get a consensus, of people actually standing up together, unless it's a major thing, and then you're still battling the hierarchical order.
Yep. And, unfortunately, because the United States is an ally with Britain and all these different countries out there, if the people come rising up against them, would the United Nations expect us to come in there as their allies and try to quell any uprising or what? As a United States citizen, I would be rooting for the people that wanted to have their own, constitutionally based form of government. You write your constitution the way you want. It's your nation. But I wouldn't want our military coming over there interfering with your internal affairs, unless things got so incredibly out of hand to where your government was coming down and really seriously harming your people. I would want our people to come over there and protect your people with everything we had. But it's a tricky balance in there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's very tricky. I mean, there is a belief that, the UN is basically everybody sitting down at the same table and deciding who's going to be the bad guy next.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. And it's not all nations aren't necessarily all there at the table anyway. There's people that's not part of the United Nations. And so where's their vote?
Yeah, that's very true.
It's like I feel bad for Africa, because Africa is probably one of the most mineral rich places in the world. They got enough to protect their people and feed their people, but they're being so abused by so many different nations and companies and corporations that have their hand in the cookie jar. Meanwhile, trying to tell them that it's things like they got to reduce their carbon footprint or whatever. Really? I mean, come on, man. I get protecting the environment, but not at the expense of all these people down there that can't even, have the luxuries, the same luxuries that everyone else has around the world. I mean, we should be over there helping these folks out. But it don't seem like that's what the world is doing, even though UN troops are down over there. They're supposedly helping these folks out. How many years does it take to help to build these communities up for these people so that they can take care of themselves?
You see, that's part of the problem of charity, though, as well, isn't it? You know, that comes back to the charities, you know, and how most of them are still, you know, they have stockholders and shareholders in a charity who are making money out of it for themselves. And very little money actually goes on the ground.
Yep, they do have small governments over there in Africa, but they're probably corrupt as all get out. But the thing is, I don't think that they. I actually think that the leaders of this so-called world, the elite of this world, would fear a united Africa, because Africa has enough resources that they could become a really powerful place on the world stage. If you understand what I'm saying, because, you know, if they had the chance to become industrialized to the extent where they control their own, you know, infrastructures and stuff like that, and were able to use their own resources, heck, they got diamonds and everything over there. It ain't like they're poor, but most people over there live in poverty. How is that?
Yeah. Well, that's set up, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's another form of domination and control. You know, the whole reason that Africa is suppressed is because it's so rich.
Yep.
You know, in resources. If you control that, you know, then you have more power in the rest of the world, don't you?
Redemptive in the chat room over there, People for People, said governments in Africa are appointed by the banks. I believe that. I believe you.
It wouldn't surprise me.
You don't get in power, probably not even here in the United States, unless you got the right people behind you. You know, I think the system's kind of rigged against the poor guy. Because when's the last time you ever heard of a really poor person making it up to the Senate or the Congress? I don't remember any time. I don't remember anybody coming off the streets that didn't have, because you got to have funds. You got to be able to raise funds, and problem with raising funds is it costs money to raise those funds, because you got to have advertisement, you got to have posters and commercials on TV to raise. I'm running for president, you know. I would never be able to be president.
Yeah, I mean, that's an old saying, isn't it? You have to have money in order to make money.
Yep. And a lot of the folks out there that got money, that's the crazy thing that a lot of people overlook about this world right here. You can pretty much say anything you want in this world, but if you say it to the wrong person, they have the power to literally destroy your life. They have the connections, they have the money. They have the power in order to completely destroy your life. And that's another reason why the people of this world should stay united and protect one another, because of that power. There's a lot of money. They say, there's a saying out there that says, he who has the gold makes the rules. And unfortunately, in this day and age, that's so true, it's scary. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. You know, in order to have the power, you know, you have to have the financial backing to be able to kind of do as you please.
Yep. And that's another thing that I was saying to on one of the shows out there, was that, you know, I may only have a dollar in my pocket. You may have a dollar in your pocket. If you got, like here in the United States, we supposedly have 320 million people here in the United States. $320 million in 320 million pockets is a pretty good chunk of change. You could get some things done, but how much money do you think all the banks got?
Well, as much as they want, because they're the ones creating it from thin air, aren't they?
Yeah, because as soon as we put our $320 million down on the table and say, you know what, we're going to start doing things our way, and they're like, wait a second, your money ain't even any good anymore. Click, here's a new dollar bill. Like, that's a rigged system. That's like playing Monopoly with my older brother. Don't ever let my older brother be the banker.
Well, it's all on promises anyway.
Yeah.
You know, promissory note is a promise.
That's
so
it.
Really what we're paying each other in is promises.
Yep.
You know, I promise to pay you this amount and you'll promise to pay somebody else a different one.
Yeah, and even nowadays, you know, when you think about it, I own 16 or 17 acres where I live. I live on a 17 acre piece of land. And the way that the system's made up, I don't even really own my land. Because if I don't pay taxes on this land every year, if I don't pay property taxes on it, they've got it set up so they can literally steal my land and sell it right out from under me. Now,
but you don't ever own the land, though.
Well,
you can own a property on the land, but you can't own the land.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, my creator owns this land. It belongs to nature. That's my own personal belief. But, I mean, as far as holding a physical title to this thing, I paid for it. And I will continue to be paying for it for the rest of my life because I got to pay taxes on it, even though the land itself is paid for, paid in full. But unless you understand the system and you know how to get, there's a difference between residential property and private property. If you have your property listed as private property, the system can't tax you on that anymore. However, you're not eligible under the private property for the benefits such as, road repairs and fire department and all that kind of stuff. You opt into that system by having residential property so that you can have the benefits of what the state has to offer you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, what the state has to offer is pulling more money out of your bank account. That's the way that works out. It's just crazy. But, you know, when folks don't even know what type of government they live under, how can you protect something that you don't even know? You know, you can't protect yourself against, if you don't know the mainstream media is out there lying out the side of their neck at you, you know, lying to you and propagandizing you and putting out false information. How can you protect against that? And when you got a nation that's divided so politically, divided amongst each other, you know, against each other, it's hard to bring those people together. And that's
it is, but then you also have to take responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we've all put our energy into the world as it is.
Yep.
Everyone on the planet has added, you know, their beliefs and their creations into that system.
Yep.
So, I mean, from my point of view, the only way that you can get out of your contracts is by rebutting them.
Yeah.
And that has to go on to a soul level.
Well, that's why I try to point out to each every person out there how important each individual is. I mean, you can't possibly imagine how powerful each individual is. It comes down to something as simple as words. You can take your words and you can use those words and you can lift somebody's spirit up to the highest reaches of heaven, or you can take that same power of words and you can lower their spirit down into the lowest, darkest abyss. That's power. Whether people realize that or not, the words coming out of your mouth are powerful. That's the difference between a democracy and a republic. You know, go back and look at the definitions of all those kind of things. And I had trouble with words because the words that I was raised on using, like earlier you pulled back on actually using the word understand. Well, until I heard some folks talking about how that word is used in a court, I had no idea that was a word that basically took me and said, yeah, I'm standing underneath you. I'm allowing you to be the one in charge kind of thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I never knew that. But now that I do, I still find myself using that word, but not to, my intent on how I'm actually using this word. Like, when I say, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying, you know, you're underneath me or beneath me or anything. I'm just like, does it make sense to you? So maybe what I should have said to begin with, does that make sense to you, instead of saying, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. it's very easy. I think the thing is that it's very easy to slip into the common language.
Yep.
You know, and to pull yourself out of that, and to keep pulling yourself out of it. It's a program.
Yeah, and we've been programmed to believe in freedom. We've not been programmed with the willpower on how to achieve that freedom. And the first biggest portion of freedom is understanding, or knowing, not understanding, knowing what the facts are, knowing the truth, or at least trying to actively seek the truth in the best way you can. But with your own studies and research and education, because you got people out there, for obvious reasons, want to convince you of something. They want to either sell you something, or they want to convince you to come to their side and be on their side. We're not trying to get anybody to convert to anything here. All we're trying to do is put the information on the table, give you the best option of what you want to do with your life. Which, folks, it is your life. Your life doesn't belong to anyone else but you. Which means you need to be strong for yourself first, so that you can be strong for others. And if you don't know the words that are coming out of your mouth, if you don't really know what you're saying, it'd probably be best not to even say it. Does that sound crazy?
No, not at all. You know, a few years ago, being a kind of psychic, magical person, I actually stopped speaking. Because that it came to a point where, you know, when you start manifesting your reality, and it happens really quickly.
Oh, it does.
And if you do that for somebody else, you then interfere with their free will. So rather than saying anything, you know, I've had people come up to me and go, what can you see in my future? I can't tell you. Because if I tell you, my words might create that future for you. So I had to actually stop speaking.
Yeah, I get it. Believe me, I get it. It's just that we talked about just words. You know, words are powerful. And, you know, they call it self-fulfilled prophecy. If you're sitting there talking yourself down all the time, you convince yourself that you're worthless, you're going to be worthless. I think Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. He was pretty successful.
Exactly. I mean, the other thing is it is all based on belief as well.
Yep.
You know, so it's what you believe. Sometimes you don't even know what other kind of layers of yourself you're running parallel. So it's like, you know, you could say something in your head to yourself, and you'll still believe it as if you said it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, your mind is powerful. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of you out there listening in right now have experienced this at some point in your life, especially with your significant other. Once you get a close connection with them, you literally start answering their questions before they ever even open their mouth to speak it. Now, some would call that coincidence, but as long as I've been with my wife, and as many times as that's happened, how many times it has to happen before it's no longer a coincidence? I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye. The power of your actions, whether it be written word or spoken word, or the way that you act. I mean, I tell you, I said this to somebody so many times about how I wish that there was a way to literally follow the smile from your face to the other person on down the line and see how far that smile actually traveled. You might be surprised how many people in this world that you could affect just by doing that one kind little action. And smiling is a kind action. You go into a room full of grumpy people and you just keep a smile on your face no matter what. They'll eventually, they're going to start smiling. They don't even know why. It's just, we're that connected. And you go in there with an angry look on your face and it has the same exact but opposite effect. They're all getting angry. They don't even know why they're mad. What's your problem, you know? I don't know.
Well, the thing is emotion as well, you know, rubs off.
Yeah, it does.
So, you know, if you go into a space, you know, where an argument has happened beforehand, you can feel the energy.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know, come off of people.
You know,
so it's also, you know, being aware of what you're dropping as you're walking around, you know.
This body that we travel around in is an amazing piece of machinery, but the science and the chemistry behind it is mind-blowing. It's so far past our understanding that it's just off the scales. But the way that this body works is so incredibly amazing. I mean, we are a thermoelectric generator, chemical battery, capacitor, all the different things you've heard in electricity or electronic school or stuff like that. This body is just, it's incredibly amazing. But no matter how hard we've tried, science still hasn't been able to figure out the mysteries of it all. I mean, what is the spirit? What is the soul? Or whatever, you know? What happens after all of this? But we are full of energy. Heck, the amount of water that we've got in our body, the hydrogen and oxygen, is more than enough to do some serious damage. If you know what I'm saying, you separate that hydrogen and oxygen. You know, actually studies out there, people spontaneously combusting for some reason, just out of the blue, just burst into flames. How's that happen? There's a lot of power in that body that you don't even realize. So, you know, you...
Yeah, it's the most advanced technology in the universe.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we're basically, you know, I feel like we're these energy-type spirits riding around in these I don't know if you want to call them spacecrafts or vehicles or whatever...
But, I call
them
a skin suit.
Yeah, skin suit. This isn't all there is to it. You know, even science says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? I mean, we're recycled back into the system. However that comes about, but it's amazing. So, in a sense, you ain't never been gone. You won't never be gone. You've been here since the dawn of time. You'll be here till the end of time because your energy, and you've always been here. That's what science says. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Where does it go then? You know, when you're gone and your body is absorbed back into nature, where does the rest of it go? It's a good question.
Back to where it came from.
Yeah.
But that also depends on your level of consciousness to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, because we all have, although, you know, people go on about source, you know, and everybody comes from source. Well, your source point and my source point may be completely different.
Yeah.
And our levels of awareness and our understanding may be from a different point in time,
yeah,
or a different galaxy or universe, or, you know, it depends on your awareness of where you actually go back to.
Yep. Well, however it is, we are amazing beings, and we need to understand that. We need to realize that. There's that word, understand, again. I find myself fighting with myself trying to talk. I don't know. We just need to realize what the heck we are, because, you know, together, you know, we do amazing things. You know, by ourselves we can do some pretty cool stuff. But it's only when we come together that really seriously amazing things start to happen. You know, I'm just like a piece of the puzzle. You know, you got a 500 piece puzzle, and if I'm not there, then that whole big picture can't be completed. Well, I feel that way about every single living person on this world that we live in, that each and every one of them is that missing piece of puzzle. And every time we lose anybody for any reason whatsoever, we got to wait until that next piece of the puzzle is created or magically appears. However you think we got here, it doesn't matter. The fact is we're all in the same boat, and when this boat goes down, it's all hands on deck. It's not discriminating what you look like or what you believe in. When we lose the boat we're living in, then we're all in some deep stuff, whatever that might be.
Well, that's what they call the unlimited point of view. Yeah. You know, is that every aspect, you know, every individual person is needed here.
Yep.
Every perspective. That's what gives you the unlimited point of view.
Well, we're like gears in a really fine-tuned machine. You take one of those gears out, and it just doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's not, you know, the Swiss watch, it might still work even if you take one gear out. But is it going to tell the proper time? Probably not. You know, something's not going to work. And that's why I think that each and every one of us are so incredibly important, even if we don't think we are. We are. That's the whole deal.
Absolutely.
And I think that at some point we have to come together and realize that unless we decide, if we want real change in this world, we got to stop fighting each other. We got to start working with each other. You see, on small scales, when there's a big natural or man-made disaster somewhere, it's all the people that rush in there. You know, it's our brothers and sisters that come in here with blankets and food and medicine and, you know, rescue and all that kind of stuff. The government gets there later, you know, and then they take the pictures of for the photo ops, and of course they would gladly accept the credit. But the reality is, it was us, the average Joe, the average Jane, that rushed in there to help each other out. And that's when we work the best, when we're working together, for whatever cause it might be. That's the important lesson to learn in life. We're powerful together. And as separated, we still, as individuals, don't ever underestimate your own power. You know, you... Look, my God didn't create any trash, only treasure. That's the way I feel about it. And the words, you know, from my faith that were spoken said that we could do amazing things if we believed in it. But I'm not here to try to convert anybody to anything. What I am here to try to do is hopefully give you some information and uplift your spirit and open your eyes and your ears and your mind to looking at things. I don't discount anything. You know what? An alien spaceship could land in my backyard or even in my front yard, get out and hand me a Domino's pizza, and I wouldn't be surprised in the least. It wouldn't surprise me. Nothing in this world would surprise me. The only thing I think, well, maybe one thing would surprise me, that everybody would finally put down their grievances and come together and we'd get some work done. That would be the good thing. But as far as anything else, you could tell me just about anything in this world and there's nothing that you could say that's going to surprise me.
I think the thing is with unity consciousness, which is what you're talking about, everybody coming together and working as one.
Yep.
You have to do that for yourself first.
Yep.
In conflict with yourself, how can you expect anyone else?
That's perfectly said. That was perfectly said. Say that one more time if you don't mind.
I said that if what you're talking about is unity consciousness of people, everybody coming together, but you have to do that for yourself first. Because if you're in conflict with yourself, you can't then expect the world to be in unity.
Yep. And so the words that you just said were similar to the words that I use, and there's the differences in words. As earlier, I said that you have to be able to be strong for yourself if you're to be strong for others. You see?
Yeah, exactly.
See the similarities? It's not that we're not on the same page, because I think we are.
Yes, absolutely.
The way that we've been so-called educated or indoctrinated or programmed, like I said about freedom, we've been programmed to believe in freedom. We've been programmed to want freedom, but we have not been programmed with the willpower to achieve it. And the willpower to achieve it means each one of you have to be strong for yourself so that you can be strong for each other. That's the trick of the game, and they know that. As long as you're fighting each other, or as long as they tell you that you have to look this way or wear these type of clothes, and you believe that that's the truth, you're going to not think very good of yourself if you're not wearing the fanciest shoes or the nicest clothes, or using the right terminology or in with the right crowd or anything like that. That's their dirty little secret. That's how they keep you and me against each other. And there's even the word religion has become taboo. You can't even talk about religion anymore because it has become taboo because of the way that it has been basically distorted, or it's like every single good thing out there that had been infiltrated and turned into something that it's not. I call myself a Christian, but I'm not religious. I don't subscribe to any denomination, nor do I subscribe to any religion. I heard the words of a man, and I believe the words that he said were I could resonate with those words. I agreed with them. Treat each other the way you want to be treated, and honor your mother and father, that kind of stuff, the Ten Commandments, or however you want to look at it. Like I said, once again, I'm not here to convince you of me being right and you being wrong or anything. I'm just saying, from my point of view, this is what I see. And, the world out there, everything has been turned into pretty much taboo. That anything that has to do with morals or whatever been twisted inside and out, the terminology used against you, it's pretty wild. There's words that are used in the UK that over here have completely opposite different meanings. And so, if you didn't know that, I had a friend say something on there, I'm not going to say it on the air, but he's basically talking about smoking a cigarette. And that word over here in urban language is something completely opposite. So it sounded bad to me when I first heard it, even though I knew what that word was on his side of the fence too. But I was like, that's something you probably wouldn't want to say over here in the middle of the United States.
But that's again all part of the programming.
Yep.
Isn't it? It's the connotations of the word, comes from how you have programmed the word and what the word means to you.
Yep, that's it. And even the same exact word, like I said earlier, you could take a word and how you deliver that, the tone of the voice or the forcefulness of the way you say the word, could have two completely different meanings. Same exact spelling, same exact word, just said differently. There's another word that I can't see on here that can be used to describe a whole lot of different things and activities. And
yeah, I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, and actually a comedian actor actually did a deal about that, but what a mess. But either way, it's just a prime example. We've been pitted against each other, and we got all these boundaries, which are actually, these boundaries are not as much as they used to be. They got this nifty little translator that will translate whatever you speak into it to whichever language that you set it on, and so you can actually communicate with people. Wouldn't it be nice if you could speak every single language in this world? That would be so awesome.
Yeah, we all just need Babel fish.
Yeah, those doggone differences keeps us separated out there. As when those walls start to deteriorate and we can all understand each other's language once again, I believe at some point in history we all did know how to speak to each other, and it might be like you explained earlier, without even using words at all. And so there could be a hidden history that none of us know about. We could have at one time been telepathic over periods of time when we started using different types of chemistry in our foods, whether intentionally or unintentionally, whether somebody actually put it in our food for the purpose of making sure that we didn't realize our true potential?
Well, that kind of happened at the fall of Lemuria. Because during the times of Lemuria, and some of us do actually remember, you know, past history and past times. So, yeah, the separation kind of happened in Lemuria and then again in Atlantis, where we fell out of unity consciousness.
We would have
mental telepathy, and yeah, unity consciousness and unconditional love. So,
see, I would have thought that would have been an awesome time to live in, where everybody, you know, basically, there comes that word again, understood each other. You know, I'm with you. Oh man, see, I don't. Because of my education, because of my upbringing and the world and all the things that have said to me, I'm only working on information that was, scattered at best. So I had to go out there and I had to actively seek all these different things. I had to look on both opposing and, agreeable sites so I could see what was what, you know. Because here's the thing. And I said this, and I'm not intending on this offending anybody out there, but a lot of people are really anti-Bible. They don't like the Bible. Well, I get that, all right? And I understand the reason why they say that. But the reasoning behind that is that because it was written by man. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but your science books, they were too written by man. The information in the blogs and the information that had been passed down, whether orally or whatever, it was also written by man. And so I submit to the world that if any information, because it was written by man, is questionable, then it should all be questionable. So, you know, you should be really careful about everything that you believe in out there, whether it be, this science guy. Well, this whole science community says... Well, okay, but what do you say? What's your observations? You know, what can you tell me from first-hand experience? I did this test, so I like this whole crazy thing about the difference between the Earth being flat and the Earth being round or hollow or concave or convex or dodecahedron or whatever. Don't matter what shape the world is. It matters what shape the world's in. But either way, there's a debate out there as to what shape it is. Well, personally, because I've never been far enough away from the earth that we stand on, I couldn't definitively say either way. But, you know, what the science books have told me, it's a globe. All right? Well, then that means that I actually have to have faith in those science books. I have to have faith in the people who wrote those science books at not wanting to deceive me into their own their points of view or what they want me to believe. And so I have to step back a second and I don't know. I just flat out don't know whether it's flat, round, hollow, dodecahedron, or convex, concave, square, or whatever. I don't know. Until I can prove it to myself, I'm acting on faith. I've seen a lot of science and a lot of experiments. I can actually get out there and I can test this and I can see, well, yeah, 9 times out of 10, it does happen the way that they said it did. You know, and for whatever reason, there's that one time that something just was different.
I think the thing is with the Bible or any written books is the omission. You know, it's like...
Yeah, they're supposed to be extra books.
Constantinople, you know, decided that there needed to be a common book that everybody could understand.
Yep.
But omitted things. Omitted, you know, some of the, like the Judas.
Yeah, there's supposed to be more books to it. I agree with you. There's supposed to be more books to it. And I'm the one that would say, I want all of the information on the table.
Yeah.
Not just what you deem is the most important. Yeah. I want all of it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's also then part of the programming, because it's been defaced and, you know, the things have been extracted from it.
I still haven't figured out that word I was looking for. It's that word that's basically when something's corrupted. There is a word for it, but corrupted's good. Because if you corrupt a book that maybe one time had more volumes to it by taking volumes out, now it's corrupted and it's no longer trustworthy evidence.
And it's also not the truth.
Yeah, that's it. So,
or rather, it's not the whole truth.
Yeah, so I even have to be skeptical, and I even have to read into the... I read things literally, so when things are said in there, you know, if they're the truth, they're going to be literally the truth. It's not going to be just, you know, some fairy tale or whatever like that, so... I'm not one of those folks that runs around smacking people upside the head with the Bible and telling them they're going to go to hell if they don't listen to what I got to say. Number one, they'd probably kill me for it. But
I think the other thing is that, you know, there are truths in everything.
Yep.
You know, so it's finding the truths for yourself.
Using that discernment.
Resonate with you.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that again kind of comes into your experiences. You know, you, like you say, you can't ever know anything unless you have first hand knowledge of it, because otherwise it's just an opinion.
Yep. So I've come to the opinion that, you know, if I don't know for a fact that something's, I'm not going to swear that it's the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I'm going to say this is my observation, this is what I see. You know, but I've also come to the realization that if you got two people that are sitting there telling you a bold-faced lie, both of those individuals have to put a little nugget of truth in each one of their lies in order to make it sound plausible. I've become pretty good at picking out those little nuggets of truth. Step back and say, but you said, and you said... And it just don't jive.
I think that there's a lot of it the other way around as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people will give you the majority of the truth and then add a lie in.
Yep, that's
so it. So that then you think that the rest of whatever it is, like a book, for example, is all a lie because they've added a falsity at the end.
Yep, that's the whole thing. So I question everything. I question everything that is of man, because, you know, man is unfortunately corruptible at this stage in the game. I hope we ever get to the higher stage of enlightenment to where we're not corruptible, that where we can really get down to the true power that we do carry inside of us. Each and every one of you carry love inside you. There ain't nothing more powerful than that as far as I'm concerned. People have done some crazy stuff over love. You know, however misguided or not, that's a powerful force that's within each and every one of you that if utilized properly is a good thing. But just like anything else, it's power nonetheless. And a lot of folks just don't get it. They just don't get it for whatever reason. And I think that falls back onto the way society and schools and governments have basically indoctrinated them to believe or disbelieve in things. Man, if the tooth fairy showed up...
We're in a kind of battle of belief.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the majority rules.
That's it.
So whatever the consensus reality is based on how many people believe that particular reality.
Yeah. And that's what makes me something kind of weird. You might be agreeance to this too, but that's what makes me kind of like weird. I'm like, I'm outside of the box. And so just because, you know, almost 7 billion people believe one thing, I'm not going to believe that one thing just because they all believe it. If the facts in my mind, if the gears don't mesh, so to speak, I'm going to still be the one raising my hand to ask those tough questions.
Yeah, I'm one of them as well.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool how somehow or another in this, some call it a large world, some call it a small world, you know, like minds end up on the Knights of the Round Table, and we get it. And just hoping that everybody else out there can get it. You know, it's just, we live in some amazing times right now. It's just, it's incredible to me. What do you think?
We do. Yeah, we do live in some amazing times.
There's a lot of frustration.
Multiple times, some of us.
Yeah, there's a lot of frustration. I even get this, you know, of course, it's probably not necessarily something that Christians actually believe in, but I even get this strange feeling that there's different ages and different souls, that some souls are older than others or whatever, you know. I don't know. How could I know? You know, I wasn't, at least my mind isn't right now, enlightened to what it's all about, where we all came from. I think that's one of the first questions that, you know, we as people come across, that is one of the most frustrating, is that where did we come from, you know? And we seem to try to find that source of wherever we came from throughout our entire life. We sit there and have debates over who's right and who's wrong, whether there is or isn't a God or whatever, you know. And even when you get into science, the Big Bang Theory as opposed to creation, they both tell the same story, but they use different terminology. Suddenly there was this big kapow and the whole world was created. And in Genesis, God spoke it into existence. He uses words to, you know, create all this stuff right here. So both stories are the same. Nobody, as far as a physical body and everything, was back there to see whether it did or didn't happen that way. So we're at the mercy of those who came before us and their honesty in telling the story. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I think as well, it is kind of down to how much of yourself you remember.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, some people haven't remembered enough of themselves to be able to remember last week.
Yeah.
You know, or what happened yesterday. Whereas others can remember multiple lifetimes and some.
Yep, I think, like I said, the science says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So once again, where does it go? Where'd it come from? How long has it been here? Each and every one of us has been here since the beginning to the end. And that's a lot of time. So we could have been here multiple times as far as I know. But for whatever reason, we're not necessarily born into this world with the knowledge that we had prior, for some crazy reason. I don't know.
Well, you know, part of that is actually the reincarnation grid that wipes your memory when you come in. And some of us actually do. Some of us do come in with more memory, you know, than others. And I think with humanity as it is at the moment, the way that it feels for me and from my perspective is that everyone is trying to lead themselves back to themselves. So it's like whatever you're interested in, you kind of re-find bits of your own information.
Well, that makes sense. It makes
a lot
of sense.
And you lead yourself back to, you know, yourself. So you are always trying to remember who you are. And that's why, you know, we have those major questions in life. Where did I come from? Who am I? What am I here for? Where do I go after this? You know, all of those major questions.
So out there in this kind of, I'm just going to say, spiritual war, or the difference between dark and light, there are entities or, you know, people out there that do not want us to know our true potential. They don't want us to remember anything past what they've indoctrinated us to believe in. It's like all of the school books, all of the history books that we've learned throughout the deal, we can sit here and we can quote dates and times of things that we learned in school, but how do we know that any of that was even close to reality of what really happened in them times?
Well, that's where your memory comes in.
Yeah. Neutrons, protons, and electrons and people from people says, I have had some crazy dreams. Gone past, I dreamed at an early age I was a modern was in a modern war and was shot in the center of the shoulder blades and died subsequently. Have a hole in my back between the shoulder blades. Does that mean anything? See, that's another thing too.
Yeah, you will find people who have had a lot of children come in with what we call past life memories, and they will have a physical representation of the death. And this is kind of what I deal with a lot, is kind of backtracking into the trauma that you carried forward into this life. Well, so if you look back into you know, the life that you last died in, you can carry the wounds literally into your next incarnation.
There was somebody who used to be on TNS Radio a long time ago. That's where I actually got my start in radio. There was somebody who sent me a picture of somebody way back in the 1800s, and you would swear that that was me in that picture.
Yeah, time travel war, timeline wars. So yeah, you probably were.
So that's an amazing thing, because I'm like really seriously interested in time travel, both forward and back, and interdimensional travel. I'm really seriously interested in it. And I don't think that science discounts that the capabilities of whether we could or couldn't. I just think there are certain limitations that, and certain things that you'd need to really realize, understand, so to speak, to make sure that if you were to try to go back in time, like for example, if I got a time machine sitting right here in where I'm sitting, 100 years ago, there might have been a huge tree right here. So imagine I go blazing back at the speed of light and then hit face plant that tree. That's probably not going to be something that I'd really want to enjoy or
Okay, so if I try and explain how it comes to me, there is no time. Well, in some respects, and if you want to time travel, it's kind of more like sidestepping.
Yeah.
So you step from one space into another space.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Rather than into a time.
That makes sense. But, you know, like I say, you see, when you see movies and you see all the different science fiction things and how they portray it, you know, it puts a... It might actually damage somebody trying to figure out something, because it'd steer them in the wrong direction. I actually have to have this machine to be able to do this. Maybe you don't.
There was such a thing as the timeline wars. And in the timeline wars, and part of the reason that we're in such a mess on the planet at the moment is we're trying to resolve...
the mess that was
the
made.
Timeline. Yeah, because, you know, some people were taken out at particular points, and then you'd have someone else incarnate at that point, and, you know, it's all about swapping consciousness. And it's... we're in an incarnation war of consciousness. Who has the most people on the ground?
Yeah.
Which belief systems have the most people on the ground is going to be the... consensus reality.
Neo said in the chat room, if I can read this, my glasses are getting cloudy for some reason. That is true. You can have a bleed over from another timeline, reality or time, and you feel and see the wounds you have there, like severe burns, which you feel on your back now. Although it is not visible, you can feel the pain, even future.
Yeah, that's why you clear up the trauma, so that you're not continually carrying that over from one life into the next.
Well, I believe that deja vu, that feeling that you've done something before, is real, but it's not what you think. It's not that you've done it before. It is that you will do it, and when you finally catch up to it, you feel like you've done it before, but you actually saw it before it ever even got there.
Okay, so that's called a projection in time. So what you've done is an aspect of yourself. You have actually projected forwards into your timeline to have a look at what may come up for you. And then as you get to that point, you reach yourself as you have put your consciousness into that future moment.
And then you feel like you've done that. I feel like I've been here before. You have, but you just haven't been there yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's a past self projecting into the future.
Yeah. So isn't that cool? I can be a Christian, I can be a science guy, and I can still keep an open mind. I don't have to be a jerk about it. I'm not trying to say I know more than anybody else. We're all just trying to figure this mess out. And I think it's a mess on purpose. I think they intentionally made a mess out of the stuff so that we wouldn't know our true potential. When I talk about bringing this all together, I don't mean under some banner or some one world religion or government. I mean, like you were saying earlier, our minds, we connect with each other. Our heart and our spirits, we see that. It's kind of like one of the most powerful feelings that I ever get. It's like, when I went to a huge ball stadium one time, and the whole crowd was in unison and together, and you could feel the energy of that deal. It literally brought tears to my eyes. And they did the national anthem, which brings a little bit more unity in there, and they did a flyover from the military, which brought a little bit more in there. It's all that combined energy literally brought tears to my eyes. Now, for whatever reason, it was an amazing feeling, and that's the feeling that I wish that everyone on this world could feel at least one time in their life. When you look out at these movies that you watch where some sort of big adversity is going on, and then all of a sudden all these people of the world come together for a common goal to save all of humanity, and even though some along the lines get lost, but they come together and they achieve that goal and arise up, and even to the extent of the amazing speech that the heroes will give at the end of the deal. You see what I'm saying?
But those are the times we're living in.
Yeah, they are. But
that's called the Great Dreamtime Awakening. We're all awakening out of the dream. So that we can create the next dream, which is what our reality is based on.
Well, I hope the next dream...
We are the dreamers dreaming the dream.
I hope that the next dream that we all create is a good one, because this one here has been a little hard to deal with. I don't like to see anyone in this world suffer. There's no need for it. We live in the year 2020, and we still got people in this world that are starving to death. Why is that? We've got more resources than we need. There's more food available to feed more of the population than we've even got worldwide. We've got a beautiful self-contained biosphere. This world that we live in is so incredibly amazing. There is no improvement on nature. Nature is a thermoelectric, static electric generator of epic proportions. It has every single medicine, every single thing necessary. It's self-healing. It cleans itself. If you could stop making messes and allow nature to do what nature does, you'd live in a world that would amaze you, because everything would be so beautiful. I've seen it firsthand. You get out there and you work alongside of nature. Nature trims itself. Nature starts fires. And when that fire is gone, the beauty that comes back is amazing. It's mind-blowing. But nature has been recycling everything. Nature wastes absolutely nothing. Why do we as humans waste? And there's, like I said, there's people in this world that can't even get some fresh water to drink. They can't get some food. They don't have a home. When we got all this, We've been gifted so much. If we could actually utilize all the gifts that we've been given, you know, and be good caretakers of the world that we live in and for each other, you know, I don't mind being a servant to the rest of the world out there. I'm humbly honored and thankful that I could actually say the things that I say on this radio show to all these people. I mean, I get it. I seriously get it. Deep down in my heart, I get it. And I just wish that at one point in our history, that while we're getting ready to prepare this next dream that all of us are going to live in, that we learn from all the past and we don't make those same mistakes and we make it right for every single person. That's all I want. Not looking to get rich. Of course, everybody.
But then we have to come out of competition for that. You know, non-hierarchical, non-competition.
Yeah, that's it. All these companies got to one-up each other. They got to fight for power. And that's what the whole thing is. The whole system's everybody fighting for power. Doing everything, you know. I feel bad for some of those folks out there. Because
yeah, but it's generally because they feel powerless. So, you know, if you were powerful in yourself, you wouldn't need to try to steal energy from something else or someone else, would you?
That's true. That's true. And, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that said, you know, even though they got a lot of money, that there's something missing in their life. What is that something? I think it's that connection that they would have with those folks that they think are below them, you know. It's sad when you think about it. You know, their deeds, they'll make you angry. You know, it's not a good thing, the things that they do to each other. The things that they do to us, for the most part. I mean, for example, it's not the rulers of the world that go out there and get on the battlefield and fight with their brothers and sisters. It's you.
Yep.
They're not sending their kids. They're sending yours. That ought to be a red flag. Look, if this is good enough for my family to go fight, it better be good enough for your family to go fight. So that's what I'd ask them first. If I'm going to have to pick up arms, you tell me first off, and you show me the evidence of why it's necessary that we go over there and defend ourselves. And you tell me, is your child going to be alongside mine? And if the answer is no, you can see what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but then, you know, all it takes really is everybody to put down their arms.
Yeah, that would be the best,
doesn't it,
though.
You know?
Get a joint consensus that you can't have a battle if ain't nobody fighting. Yeah, I ain't picking up my arms against you. You go ahead and shoot me down if you like. I'll see you in the next life.
But then if we were all, you know, seeing each other as brothers and sisters in unity, then there is no enemy.
Yeah, that's it. We're told every single day that there's an enemy. There's a terrorist behind every bush. The boogeyman's under the bed. Who knows what's in the closet, and behind every bush is somebody getting ready to steal your wallet. Don't pick up the hitchhiker. Don't give no money to that homeless guy because he's just going to buy drugs and alcohol with it. Don't pick up the hitchhiker. I think I already said that one. He might be an axe murderer. We're taught to fear each other. We're told that we're different. I mean, for Pete's sake. You put all the different colors of the world, of all the different nationalities, even spiritual backgrounds, babies in a crib together. They don't care what each other look like. They're having fun. They're hanging out. They're exploring. They're excited to be together. It ain't until they get older and you start pointing out, oh, look, that kid's different than you, that they start thinking of that kid differently. So that's something that's it's ingrained in us by the way that we allow society to take and make us different. That's the way I see it anyway.
Yeah. But then again, it's the programming, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, it's manipulating, you know, one against the other.
Well, Neil said in the chat room, Neil and the People for People chat room said they are using mind control, manipulation, rituals, etc. People are not dumb by default, but name and relatively easy manipulated, which is what the government indoctrination centers are doing to your kids at school.
I mean, it's not just now. You know, you kind of, if you go back through the history, or herstory, whichever label you want to put on it, it's been going on for generations.
Yeah, I think this spiritual information battle that we've been in has been a long-term thing. It's been way before.
It's a long game they're playing.
Yep.
You know?
And the thing
again,
about
the them and us.
Yep.
You know, once we start getting into the them and us, there's a separation for you.
Yep.
You know, there's a competition and a hierarchical order. Anything that kind of creates a separation goes against unity.
Because our true power, like some of the superheroes in the world, of science fiction, like there's this two guys that they merge together and they become this flying dude that can throw fireballs and stuff like that. And I think that that's what they fear the most about us finally realizing what the true unity would actually be, the combined power that we would have together, you know, with our words and our actions and stuff like that. I honestly believe that the system out there literally fears the people. And that's why you got to get control of these people and keep control of it from an early age. Otherwise, that's like that grasshopper told the other grasshopper. You let one of them ants stand up and then they all might stand up. And since those ants outnumber us 100 to 1, there goes our way of life. And that's what they're
thinking. Exactly. Exactly. You know, if you had a group of people, just a group of people, that had the same thought at the same time and they could hold the same vision, how would that change the world?
Oh, I think it would change it profoundly, because I'm a 54-year-old man and I was standing there at a ball game with tears in my eyes just seeing and hearing the crowd as they came together for a common cause. It was just a game. All right, but the energy, I could literally feel that energy as if I was absorbing all that energy, like I was being powered up by that crowd. And all the significant events that were going on during this time, you know, the game coming together and the flag ceremony and the doggone flyover by the military and all the excitement of the crowd and everybody being happy and energized and excited, and all that energy just kind of permeated my body and literally brought me to tears. And I was thinking to myself, man, if the whole world could feel this, just one time is all it would take. Just one time, if the whole world could feel that united feeling there. It's beyond words. What do you think?
Yeah. It is beyond words. Absolutely. You know, and it's also recently I've been having a lot of what I would term unlimited point of view. So you kind of look around the situation, but you can kind of see it from all of the people involved, from every perspective.
Yeah.
And that's very similar. You know, it's like if you're immersed in a particular experience and you feel or know every other perspective of that, that's what I would term unity consciousness.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, I get ideas all the time, and I struggle to find the words to explain mechanically, scientifically, or even in basic terminology so that other folks out there could actually understand, because not everybody has a mechanical gift in their mind. You know, some of us are artists and some of us are, you know, maybe singers, or, you know, a really good cook. All of us, each and every one of us, carry a skill, a talent that I think we were actually born with. And you combine all those together, and the next thing you know, you got a party, you got a house built, you got something getting done. But if I can't convey the images in my mind so that other people can understand, I couldn't get it built. I don't have the tools and the craftsmanship to literally build the things that are in my mind. Even though I try desperately to explain to those who have those tools and talents so that they take the chance and build it and see that it works. I mean, in my mind, I can sit here and I can explain to you space-age equipment, technology that is beyond all the things that we have today. That if ever to be built, you could literally change this world. Tesla believed that if you could bring the world free energy, that there wouldn't be no more reason to be fighting over resources, coal or gas or oil or whatever. And I believe that as well.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
So, you know, this is kind of like my mission here, to try to bring people together to reach out and find the most brilliant minds and bring them to the table and let's all get it done. You know, I still believe in the dream. I still believe no matter how bad things appear right now, I still believe we have the combined power to resolve every single issue under the sun. It doesn't matter what you want. Whatever subject you want to talk about, there's a solution for it. And I believe that with all of my being. I mean, nature's provided all the medicine. There are cures for every disease out there. No matter how many people want to tell you contrary. If you're quoting from the book, if you're quoting from the so-called college-educated doctors and whatever out there, you're not going to get the whole story. There's a government system in play at every hospital where they're in it to make money. You know, why would you want to tell everybody that there's a cure for the common cold if you want to sell cold medicine? You ain't gonna make no money if nobody's got a cold. So the same thing would apply with everything else out there, whether it be energy or whatever. Why would I want to tell you that it is true that you can run a car on water, because water is the most amazing molecule in our existence? Why would I want you to know that if I'm trying to sell you gasoline or diesel? I wouldn't want you to know that if I wanted to make money. But if I cared about the world and I wanted to tap into all that nature has provided and do it in the most efficient and harmonious balance with nature, and we could actually make this world so incredibly, I literally believe that we have the capability to bring about a heaven on earth if we so choose to do so. But the key to that whole entire thing is we can't do it alone. We have to do it together. We have to decide consciously that this is what we as a collective want. Otherwise, it's all these different stories. That's it. People starving for nothing. Why would any child be starving in this world? In the world that we got technology that we're talking on right now that is so amazing. So incredibly amazing. We can see each other while we talk.
Yeah, I mean, some of that is, you know, again, because of soul contracts and what people have come in with to resolve. So it's kind of, you kind of have to look a little bit bigger than just the circumstances that one finds themselves in now, you know, and look at, you know, what was your ancestral line? You know, where have we been failing as a race to kind of clear up our own mess?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that as humanity, that every problem out there is all of our problem. And so if there's somebody starving in the world, it wasn't a higher power such as God or our Creator or whatever you believe out there, that we got free will. We got a choice. We can either be rotten or we can be good. That's it. It's that simple. And so with that said, it wasn't God that allowed that baby to starve in this world. It was us. We made the decision to allow it. And I'm painting with a wide brush. I mean, we as a whole. If all of the people of the world stood up and demanded from the leadership of the world that we address these problems head on, we could get it done.
Why? I'm just going to ask you a question, though. Why do you have to go to the leadership of this world?
Well, right now, everybody believes that they're the only ones with the money and the funds to do it. I would submit that if we decided to just bypass them all together, that we got technology right now, we could do like a relay race. I hand this information off to you. There's some food to be picked up over there. There's somebody who's right in that general vicinity who can deliver it directly to the hands of the person that needs it. There's somebody over it. We could literally, if we really chose to do so, using this technology and the information that we have available to us. My friend Steve said, we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips.
Exactly. And what are we doing with it? You know?
Yeah.
What are we doing with it?
I think somebody in there got a question for you.
I have revoked quite a lot. What have I revoked? I've revoked light worker agendas. I've revoked vows of poverty. I've revoked ancestral karma. I'm just trying to think all of the things that I've revoked. I've revoked the government and the banking system. I've revoked sacred geometry buildings. I have revoked betrayal. God, the list is kind of endless. Really, I've revoked quite a lot. Trying to think if there's anything else.
Well, it sounds
I've revoked most of my kind of soul contracts as well. So.
It sounds like you've been pretty active out there.
Yeah, once you have the knowledge of something, you know, unless you take action or perform on it, then, you know, what is the point?
Well, I understand that because that's what I'm doing, the things that I'm doing for, because I know there's something a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye. And the things that are going on in my mind as far as what I explained to you basically about machinery and future things that could solve issues in this world, they're in there. Now I got to find a way to put it out there, and I do it in the best possible, most creative way. And this platform that we've all come together on is basically to try to unite these same minds to come together, because we don't need the whole world to accomplish amazing things. Now, the best case scenario is we did have the whole world, all the people decided that they wanted to work together. But as an individual, each one of us has got a lot of power. But every time we bring somebody else with another perspective, you're able to say words in a way that explains something that I tried to say that maybe other folks didn't really comprehend because of the terminology that I used it, but the way that you explained it was the missing piece of the puzzle that suddenly, aha, I know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? That's how we complement each other. You know, it's like I tell my wife, her strengths are my weaknesses, and my weaknesses are her strengths, vice versa. And together, we make one heck of a team. We get things done. We raise a family. We're able to care for the land and the animals that are around us and stuff. And so, you know, that's the kind of example that I want to set for the next group down the line that's going to do that with each other and.
I think that's kind of my main purpose, if I put it like that, is that the more that we clear up, the more that we take responsibility for, the less the next generation have to carry.
That's it. I always say we're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, and so on, of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will definitely define the world that they live in tomorrow. Wouldn't it be nice for all them future generations to look back and say, you know, this one particular generation, they changed the world for the better. You know, some folks, it's funny because some folks say, we sound like a bunch of old hippies or whatever. Okay, well.
I'll have that label.
I'll take it. somebody asked me another question in there. Can you see that?
Can you make the list of what it is to be revoked for the highest good of soul, so they are not bottlenecked from fulfilling their divine life mission? Especially these maritime laws, birth certificates, DNA tamperings, abductions, DNA trading, etc. Okay, so you need to take each one of those that you have, and everybody's contracts, even though we have some that are similar, are going to be different, and they're going to be unique to you because they're yours. So what you revoke, you can do general revocations, which if you look at Andrew Bartzis, who is the galactic historian, he has a lot of contract revocations. I also have some that I've written myself, to which I can kind of make public. But there's that you kind of need to know yourself and need to know why are you bottlenecked from fulfilling your divine mission? You know, where's that coming from? And then look at how you revoke the contract. Well, but with the work that I do, I can assist you with that. But it's really kind of knowing yourself, you know, and knowing what you have agreed to, whether it is consciously or by tacit consent, and then looking at how you go about unraveling yourself.
Well, I always jokingly tell everybody that if you ever want to get rich, go to the casino and bet on whatever it is that I do not. So I need to revoke some bad luck.
Well, there you've just given it to yourself again, haven't you?
Yep. Oh, that figure. It was funny because I was telling of a story there. I was up in South Dakota. And there was this casino up there that we just stopped in because we were on our way to North Dakota. So for fun, we decided to stop in this casino. And so I sat down at this one slot machine. I put 50 cents in this slot machine. Well, the next thing you know, this slot machine went crazy. There was bells and buzzers and lights and sirens going off. And this went on for like 15 solid minutes. And everybody started gathering around like a crowd and everything, and even some of the workers from the doggone casino were gathering around waiting in there like, what'd you win? What'd you win? I said, I have got no idea. It's still going, you know? And so this went on and on and on, and everybody's like I said, all crowded around. I'm all excited. I think I won the big one. When it was all said and done, 50 cents popped out in the tray. That was it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm like, that's it, I'm out of here. I got about 50 cents left. Oh, that's crazy, man. Had me all excited thinking I hit the big one, man. They're all like, wow. But I took it like a man. I didn't get too upset about it. It was one of those stories of life. I got some stories like that. I've had an eventful life, but that was something else. So, if I can figure out how to kick the bad luck to the curb, then maybe, I don't know, we'll see from there.
Well, first you can probably drop the assumption that you have bad luck.
Yeah, that would probably be helpful. I had to convince myself that I got good luck. That's it. That's what I'm going to say from now on. That's all I'm going to ever say. Good luck. That's all I got is good luck. I'm such a lucky guy. Oh, man.
Yeah, gratitude goes a long way.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful for a lot of things, and in that aspect, you know, I seem to be well taken care of in my life. I mean, I'm not starving. I have the capability of getting on here and sharing information with people, so I feel like I'm doing what I should be doing. You know, I feel like I'm doing the best I can be doing with what I got to work with. You know, I'm not rich, but I'm not poor, but I see that other people out there in this world need help, and I want to do whatever it takes to help them. And even if that's only an inspirational word, you know, a couple times a week, I'll do what I can. I think, you know, just the mere fact of bringing people together on this Knights of the Round Table and the energy that we put out there, the positive pebbles that we throw in that pond, you know, they make a difference. I honestly believe that what we're doing makes a difference. I believe that with everything I am. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when I go through some dark sides, and if it wasn't for Barbara and Patty and, you know, all the wonderful people that come together and, you know, use their words to uplift my spirit again and remind me what it is we're here for. Like I'm out searching for the dream team when I didn't realize we already had the dream team right here. You know? And it just seemed like things weren't happening quick enough. Things in this world weren't moving forward quick enough. I just was so impatient and I didn't realize that I was my worst enemy. I was my worst roadblock. When in reality, if I would have just stayed true to what I believe in and kept going forward and keep saying the words that I say, for wherever these words come from, you know, if it uplifts somebody's spirits, I'm going to keep on doing and saying what I say. That's it. I get it, man. I don't want anybody to feel bad because of something I said. I'm really careful and I'm cautious about the way that I put my words together because I'm trying to do it right. It's as easy as that.
Yeah, that's all any of us can do, you know, is to keep correct, you know, keep correcting ourselves.
I'm trying to better myself and improve myself to make myself as strong as I possibly can be for those around me because I know that there's all those folks, that, you know, we need each other. You know, I'm not the only one, but I do feel like I'm just as important as everybody else out there, and I want everybody else to feel that same way. You're just as important as the one standing next to you because you are each pieces of that puzzle that make the big picture. One of these days, we'll get to know what the big picture was. But in the meantime, there ain't no need in you poking holes in that side of the boat if we're trying to float in this boat and I'm over here trying to fix holes and you're poking holes. That's counterproductive. But if we work together, we can patch this boat up. We can get back in harmony with nature. And I tell you what, I've seen it firsthand. The harder you work for nature, the harder nature works for you. I was so close, Carly, and I was so close to petting a baby deer about a week ago. So close.
Wow.
I had my hand out, and that baby deer was walking towards me. And I was so close to petting that deer, and one of our cats came rolling up on me. Scared that little deer off.
Oh.
But I tell you, there's going to come a day I'm going to pet one of those deer. I already got it to the point where I can be within 5 to 10 feet of them. And just with the way that I walk and the way that I talk, they don't run from me. They're not afraid of me. And I don't want them to be afraid of me. But
I think with animals and stuff like that, it is being in a space where they can come to you.
Yep.
Rather than the, you know, you need the patience.
That's
Maybe
it.
That's what it's teaching you.
I learned all that from a turtle. I wrote a little story about a turtle that is in my pond to this very day. I call Goliath because he is a huge turtle. And I've been going out there and feeding them, and they actually come up to the shore, and I was like really in a bad way at one point in time. And this turtle, just the presence of this turtle and the way that it all played out too, it unlocked something for me that I understood what was going on around me, and I heard things and I saw things in such a different fashion than I ever did before, and it brought a peace in my life like I can't explain. But it all came from a turtle. Most folks think I was nuts sitting down there talking to a turtle, but I don't care what most folks think. I know that bond that turtle and I had, it's amazing.
Yeah, I get that with nature too. You know, there's so many different other, you know, dimensions that we're not even aware of as well.
Yep. Well, that's what
I'm saying. So many that most people aren't aware of, and you know, it's kind of also about our relationship with our multidimensional aspects and how we fit into the co-created reality as a human being.
I want to tell you something crazy. Actually, I'm kind of telling the whole world something crazy. Everybody listening in. When I go to sleep and I dream, I don't feel like it's just a dream. I feel like I'm literally going from this world to that world to that world, and I wake up and I'm just as tired as if I hadn't slept that whole doggone night. So I feel like my mind is going from all the different possibilities of just this world alone into other possibilities in alternate realities or whatever, however you want to think about it, because when I'm
that sounds like astral projection.
When I'm there, I can feel everything. Literally, I can feel it.
So you're experiencing other realities and other dimensions in your dream time.
Yeah.
You know, that would be something that other people might term as astral projection. So you're actually projecting part of your consciousness into those other realms of existence to explore, because that's what we are, consciousness explorers.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because for the longest portion of the time I thought, you know, I was just crazy, but I could actually feel these dreams, and I wake up, if it's a dream that's all physical where I'm doing a lot of work or whatever, and even my wife says I fight in my sleep all the time. So, if I'm in a dream where I have to fight, I'm literally in my dream fighting. Oh, man. It's just an amazing world that we live in. I know there's so much more that meets the eye, and I'm just... Folks, I started this show off today talking about the United States is not a democracy, and stop calling it one, you know. Those words literally have power. Every word you speak has power. And we come into this from that all the way to this right here, and it's all related. Every bit of it's related. And if you could just get that realization in your mind, you're not helpless. And you never were helpless. You were taught to believe that you're helpless. Telling everybody that it's a democracy, lying to everybody over and over and over and over again, eventually people begin to repeat that same terminology, even though if you look back to the founding of the United States, it was set up as a republic. There's a difference. There's a big difference. It's the difference between the king or multiple kings. You know, I call myself King Shaziz the Terrible on here on the Knights of the Round Table, because I'm a rotten individual. King Shaziz the Terrible talking about crying at a football game because everybody comes together, and somebody tried to tell me I was King Shaziz the Mushy.
Aw, what's wrong with that?
Oh, I guess if I'm trying to hold on to my manliness, I guess... I don't know. I just... We've been told a lot of things in this world. We can't even be true to ourselves because of the craziness out there. I'm going to stick as true to my faith as I possibly can. And when, you know, I find the right way and whatever, I'll share it with everybody else. I'll just tell them how it is. If they ask me what journey I've been on, I'll tell them about my experiences. I'm not here to try to indoctrinate or convince you of anything. I'm just telling you the way that my life's gone. You're not the one. I want to hear your stories as well. I want to know things. I'm that crazy guy that drives down a road and sees that old building sitting off over there, and my mind automatically projects into the past to see the type of people that lived there, the lives and the trials and tribulations that must have gone about for them to be able to try to, you know, maintain a home. I'd really want to know their story. You realize how many people, Carlene, that are on this world that have a story?
Everyone.
Yeah.
we all have our own story.
I want to know them all.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Absolutely. I love to share, you know, stories, and that's something that as a race we've kind of forgotten to do. You know, a lot, we're kind of so busy, you know, listening to our own story.
Yeah.
That we're not hearing anyone else's.
And I think that's another part of the problem, is that each individual kind of builds the universe around them instead of realizing that they're actually part of that greater being or whatever, that connectedness or whatever. They become self-centered, and there's nobody but them, and it makes their life miserable because they feel like nobody understands what they're going through, and you know, it's like these little pockets, circles of people that come together, and you know, the popular kid as opposed to the not popular kid, all in the crowd, you know, following each other around, or following this one, following the leader, when in reality they should have all been together, the leaders.
Yeah, exactly. And following themselves too.
Yeah,
you know, it's like if we were actually non-competitional, you know, we'd all know that we all have a place.
Yep.
And it's finding what that place is. It's kind of the search that most people are looking for. It's like, I don't fit. Well, why don't you fit?
Because
you're not being yourself, you know.
I think that I found my place in this world, and I think I'm doing it now. I think I enjoy what I do here. I feel humbled and honored and just truly blessed to just be able to do these shows with all these wonderful people out there. And it's a good thing, because we can all come together from different backgrounds, different belief systems, different views on the world, and we just sit here and respectfully share our ideas with each other and share information, and together we've troubleshooted so many different things. You go back and you actually listen to the Knights of the Round Table from the first show all the way up to the present. One common denominator in all of this is the people, the brilliance, the some of the things that people have said on this show, and the way that these shows actually, you know, we feeding off of each other. Sometimes I'll get ready to say something and one of the knights will say it before I do, but just in different terminology than how I was getting ready to say it, kind of like what you did earlier with something I said. You said it the same but more beautifully than what I was able to convey. But now we just increased how many people could understand that message, could get it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, because we're both saying the same thing in a different way. So you've got, you know, more people can access.
Yeah.
From two different points of view.
And that's the brilliance of it.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
You know, like I said earlier about the science and creation, if you take Genesis, the explanation of creation, and you take science, the explanation of creation, they're not different. They're the same thing. There was this big bang and a flash of light, and all this stuff was created. And then, you know, the other one was that it was all spoken into existence. And you know, it's the same story. So, you know, it's just, it amazes me. The things that we argue over are mostly unnecessary. We don't need to argue over anything. You know, we can't see oxygen, but we are told by science is there. We're all still breathing, you know. And it takes three things to start a fire. It takes oxygen, a fuel source, and an ignition source. And so my question is, who or what lit the match?
Fairies.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Elemental.
The Tooth Fairy shows up at my house, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm going to just say, hey, how's it going? Man. It's just like, I'm just excited. I guess maybe I might be appearing a bit crazy to folks out there, but I'm actually enjoying life. I get frustrated. Don't get me wrong. I get frustrated with seeing the trials and tribulations that everybody's going through. I wish that everybody could be happy. I wish that everybody could be fed and sheltered and have everything, all their needs met. You know, I wish that we didn't have to have such things as a Second Amendment or guns, anything like that. But unfortunately, as a whole, we aren't there yet. We can't trust each other for some crazy reason. I wonder why that is.
There's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah.
There are a lot of reasons for that.
Well, all I gotta say is one positive pebble at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. One pebble at a time. And also people taking responsibility for their own happiness.
Yep, that's true. I finally had to realize that, back in the day when I started doing YouTube videos on the Mad Science, I had a lot of trolls that come through there and a lot of people just come through there and just say nasty stuff. I mean, just be totally hateful and rotten and tell you how stupid you are and all this kind of stuff. And I finally just had to just tune that out. Because I knew there were people out there that were misguided in this world and they didn't get it. I'm trying to share something with the world and I maybe didn't have the right way to do it. You know, I went about it in a creative way. Maybe I didn't have the right terminology to match the indoctrination that they had in college or grade school or whatever. But that didn't make my information any less valid than, you know, their information. Maybe more so. And, you know, I was trying to open dialogues to people to get them to think outside the box, outside of what they've been told reality really is. Because
you can't really, you know, enforce that on somebody. You know, all you can do is offer them the opportunity.
Yep. That's why I threw that deal out there so that if they wanted to discuss it, it was available, you know? And so I didn't tell them, you have to listen to me. I just, I just said, what do you think about this? You know, is it possible or what? And open up a dialogue. And those who are willing to entertain any possibility would be the ones to have the best conversations with. Because we'd be liable to learn something from each other. Imagine that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
everyone is your teacher, and yep. you're the student of everyone too.
life is a school. That's what it is. We're here to learn stuff. We're here to work. That stinks. I'm supposedly retired. I ain't retired. I worked hard. I work harder now that I am retired than I did before I was retired. So I could almost be better off just to go back and get me a job somewhere and work there. Heck, doing this radio show is a job in itself. Pulling myself up early in the morning and going out there and studying up and reading up on different subjects that need to be addressed and talking. And if you never noticed, if you've ever listened into the Knights of the Round Table prior to the day, we start off with one subject. That don't mean that's where we're going to be the rest of the deal. So if you're discouraged with the subject, just wait a few minutes. One of us is going to tell you something different, and we're going to work our way around it. These shows take on a life of its own. It's so amazing. And the people in the chat room, you know, that share comments and links to pertinent information on whatever show we're doing, or even share new ones. We ain't never gonna run out of content. This world is just it's a massive buffet of all different types of things going on, and all of which are perceived to be problems. I honestly believe that we have the solutions to resolve. But it comes back to that other little trick. If we can come together. That's it. That's the only thing holding us back. It ain't the government holding us back. governments are a pain. They're like that road, that doggone, remember they put those stupid speed bumps in the middle of the road? And if you got a low setting car, it'll rip your exhaust out and cost you more money. They say the road to disaster was paved by good intentions. Well, maybe the government had good intentions putting them speed bumps down there, but they sure did stick it to the little guy that's got the short car. That's for sure. Oh, man. What a world. So, you know, anyway, back on the whole deal about the, you know, United States not being a democracy, it's a whole lot more than just whether or not it's a democracy or not. If the people out there don't understand the type of system that they're living in, they can't defend themselves against it. How would you ever know that there was tyranny? Let's say, hypothetically, you wake up and tomorrow the Constitution was completely erased from all the school books. People stopped talking about it. And nobody was ever, you know, voicing their view. Hey, you remember the Constitution? And nobody ever even knew about it. There come a day, a generation that would not even know that it even existed. So if you had no prior knowledge to the rights that you had to protect yourself against said tyrannical government, they could just run amok over the top of you. You know, and if you were told lie after lie after lie, and that's all you ever knew, if you're only listening to MSNBC or ABC or CNN and you're only getting that side of the view, maybe you don't like Fox News, but maybe you should listen to them as well so that you can hear the whole side of what they said instead of little sound bites. Step back, look at the big picture. Know they both probably propagandizing you. Pick your information out there and even check into some alternative information. You'd be surprised what that discernment inside you could actually do as far as getting to the truth. We got our work cut out for us when it actually comes down to finding the truth. Did we or didn't we go to the moon in 1969? I don't know, but I got a lot of questions. So it could possibly be really easy to find out if we have the technology that we have today. If it wasn't so regulated by a government that might or may not want to cover something up. I'm just saying, don't lay your faith blindly on the table and just follow everybody just because they said something. Do a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of effort. Roll up your sleeves and pick up some books and read some information and step back and figure it out. And when we all get this information together and we're sorting through it the way that we do, we seem to be able to get closer and closer to the truth on a daily basis. You can't fight against something you don't know exists. You know, that's that. The greatest trick that Satan ever did was convince the world that he didn't exist. That was something somebody said to somebody. You know, whether it's true or not, you know, I can't tell you. But I tell you, I've seen some pretty rotten things in my life. I've seen some things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. And for that, I'm so passionate about what I do here as far as trying to bring people together. Now, I got a friend out there named Two Dog. He's just an amazing guy. He's actually after trying to gather up flags from different nations and put them around the Tree of Peace. And I'll tell you what, I'm sending him another one. But I like the way that man thinks because I like the idea of bringing this world together. However we get there, I don't care. I just want to get us together. I don't want us to go there, you know, in violence because that's not what it's all about. Peace never came from the end of a barrel of a gun. And it actually has been said that if you live by the sword, you shall surely die by the sword. Now, I don't think that's a very good way to die, so I don't think I want to be wielding a sword at nobody. So I'm going to try to use the power of my words to try to uplift the spirits of those people out there in the world, and hopefully they see something I see. And, you know, I would love just to be able to unlock my brain and just allow everybody to see through my eyes for one day. I want them to be able to feel what it feels like to sit here next to Carlene on this show and talk about the things that we talk about. Have I been offensive to you today, Carlene?
No, not at all.
No, and you ain't been offensive to me. We might have some different ideas about things. You probably know things that I don't know, vice versa. But that's the beauty of this whole deal. Bringing brilliant minds from clear around the world. You're in the UK, I'm in the United States. We're able to have a conversation about things that other people might just sit around and argue till they're blue in the face. For what gain? You get through arguing, neither one of you is going to agree either way. And so if you can't agree to disagree in a respectful manner and just move on towards seeking the truth, then we got what we got here in this world. Yeah, people out there standing there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying, save the trees. Really? Come on, man. Go out there and plant a tree. You know? Hug a tree. Man, I love that.
Yeah, communicate with them, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually listen to what they have to say, you know?
That's it. Doggone it, don't stand there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying, save the trees. Get out there and do something. Pete's sake, man. It all sounds like common sense to us, right?
Yeah. Guerrilla seed bombing.
Yeah.
It's great.
There you go. And I got a friend years ago called it guerrilla charity as well. It's like whenever they were trying to arrest people for feeding the homeless, I mentioned, yeah, just put on a Batman suit, run by real quick, hand them a sandwich and run off. And they'd be like, who was that masked man?
That's great.
What are they going to do? Hey, we got an all points bulletin for Batman. He's out feeding the homeless. Oh, man. Where there's a will, there's a way.
You know, you're going to have to do that now.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'll go to some restaurant, buy some food up, find me some homeless people, run by in a Batman suit, hand them dinner, and run off. I would. I'm the kind of person that would do that, literally.
Yeah, I am as well.
So
we could do it together.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We could do a transatlantic, I don't know, YouTube video or something.
Yeah, we'll have to hire us together. We'll have to hire us a secluded camera person to hide in the background and wait for Batman to run by and then get it on film, put it out there, and maybe we'd have a whole rash of Batman feedings out there, you know? That would be amazing. And I liked what you said about the gorilla seeding. I was talking about that as well, where you fill up your pocket with a bunch of fruit seeds and vegetable seeds, and as you're going on your jog through the park or city or whatever, just chuck a few over here and chuck a few over there, and the next thing you know, there's vegetables and fruit growing everywhere, so, you know, somebody hungry, they'd be able to find it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then there's no need then for anyone to be hungry, is there?
Nope.
If food is free.
Nope. And that's a power that we got. We don't have to ask for permission. Just go to the local store or find your farmer that's got some heritage seeds and, hey, just go around and make it happen. Don't ask for permission. If you ask for permission, you know they're going to say, well, you can't do that. That's bad for the environment. Really? Oh, man. I did a video about, or a radio show about fossil fuel being a lie, because it is, because we live in a carbon-based world, and so everything out there is quite literally fuel. The doggone world that we live in, nature recycles everything, and you're never going to see a day when they run out of what they call fossil fuel. It's a scam, but nonetheless, if you understand what nature's provided, and you understand how nature uses things and how nature recycles everything, they're making money. They're selling you bottled water, for Pete's sake. The earth is 3/4 covered in water. And they're like, oh, shazizz, that's not fresh water. We can't drink that. Really? If you're standing next to the ocean, dying of thirst, then you did not pay attention in science class. Because you can distill that stuff. Ask those folks over in Dubai. They not only built the land that their skyscrapers are standing on, but they built huge desalination plants, and they pumped that water way up in the top, and they used the pressure of the water coming down to not only cool the buildings down, but to flush the toilets and fresh drinking water and all that. Where there's a will, there's a way. And we've been, most of us here, you know, at least in the United States, or if you live in humid climate, or, you know, like a basement home or something like that, have been using dehumidifiers for years. There's technology there to pull water straight out of the air. Straight out of the air. Pure water, right out of the air. Because, like it or not, you're floating in a sea of water. You're in hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen and all of these trace gases that are down here that nature mixes up and uses for different processes. But we have the technology to put fresh water where it's needed to be. And if the, for some reason we can't get it there that way, we got this nifty invention that's been around since back during the Roman times and probably even prior called plumbing. We can pipe fresh water over there. But we have to work together to do it. Instead of everybody saying, no, I don't want that water pipe going through my yard, say, yeah, they need some fresh water down there. And send it to them. We got the capability to move resources from one place to the next to ensure that everybody has everything necessary to survive. Those are the basic human rights. Food, medicine, a home. And we got people in this world that can't even enjoy that. Come on, man. A lot of folks, they'll go to dinner and they will make a huge plate. Their eyes are bigger than their stomach. And then whenever they get done eating what they can, they scrape it off into the garbage can. I seen a video one time that broke my heart. I saw these little kids, I saw full-grown adults sitting at a table at a restaurant in a foreign land, and they were eating dinner, while the little kids were walking around picking up scraps that people dropped on the ground. No different than you'd treat your dog, and hopefully a lot of people treat their dogs better than that, but there are people out there that actually treat their dogs better than they do their children. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. If you could just see what I see, what this world could actually be if we really chose to make it so. It's not rocket science, folks. And it's not nowhere near impossible. There are people out there who would be willing to give food away, but they're so afraid that they're going to get sued if something goes wrong. What worse could go wrong than somebody starving to death? What's worse than that? You know, I did a show on that. Starvation. And it's a tough subject, but what happens to those people in that process is sometimes and most times irreversible damage done to their bodies. We have the power, we have the tools, we have the technology. We only got to get past one hurdle, and that's bringing each of us together. We ain't got time to wait around for governments because their track record stinks. You think going over there bombing somebody into the Stone Age is good for the environment? They're going to tell you about reducing your carbon footprint. Don't drive your car because you're using up resources and you're polluting the atmosphere. At the same time, there's some drone flying over there mopping somebody into the Stone Age. And nothing's more heartbreaking than hearing a little Palestinian girl, two little Palestinian girls, asked by a reporter, do you ever want peace with Israel? And those two little girls say, no, we hate Israel because they killed their mommy and daddy. And then if you was to flip that on the other side and you asked two little Israeli girls, what would they say? Probably the same doggone thing. we are in a perpetual state of violence against one another for no good reason at all. I get it, the bad guy does something, you gotta stop the bad guy. Well, we come together, we stop the bad guys together. But until we figure out that all we're doing is perpetuating a never-ending cycle in the name of whatever it is, patriotism, religion, whatever it is, we're allowing people, a little tiny fraction of the entire population of this world, to keep us in constant chaos. Some of you out there say you love this world that we stand on. Some of you say you love this earth that we live in. Some of you even call it Mother Earth. This boat that we're in, this wonderful planet that we're in, we're doing things to this world that we shouldn't be doing. And we've been around long enough that we've developed technologies that will allow us to use what nature has provided in such a clean and harmonious fashion that we could literally take this world from what it is today to something really amazing. But if you don't know, how do you work against it? That's the question. If you don't know your own government, that is what type of government you got, how can you defend it? How can you defend this world? How can you defend each other if you can't even be strong for yourselves? Spend more time hating on each other. The folks that listen in these shows, we get it. We're not preaching to the choir. We're throwing positive pebbles out there hoping. What do you think, Carlene?
Yep. I couldn't have put it better, actually.
Well, I suppose you probably could in better terminology.
I think that... I lost my train of thought now, so I'm not thinking.
Well, I have that habit of sometimes when I throw so much information out there, it's hard to catch up. Sorry about that. But the fact is, we got what we need. We just got to use it. We got to find the willpower to use the power that we have.
It's come back now. The train of thought has come back now.
Good.
And it's about permission. You know, we don't have to ask anyone's permission to do what we feel is right. That's where your sovereignty lies, is being your own authority, and you know, doing what feels correct to you. And when we can all take responsibility for how we are, and we know who we are and how we are, then we can start creating unity together.
That sounds like a good plan. That sounds like a great goal. And I honestly believe it's achievable. One person at a time. Start powering yourself up. Because it's time. It's time to turn that light on. You know, I say this all the time about, you know, if you take, you go inside the darkest cave out there, not even a beam of light from the outside make it in this dark cave, and you light up one single candle, you fight back that darkness. It just spreads out. Then somebody else lights one up and gets even brighter, and then keep on doing that. Pretty soon you got enough heat in there, you're warm, you got plenty of light. That's what you people are capable of. Be that little shining lighthouse that keeps everybody from hitting the reefs out there. There's so many examples of things, and if you ever go around snooping around on Shaziz Radio website and you look at some of these pictures out there, there's some pretty amazing pictures. I think some call them memes. You know, it's like picture with words on there, like that one pieces of the puzzle. It's got one guy standing outside and there's a puzzle with one piece out of it, and it says, "You're the missing piece." It's so true. We got so much capabilities if we could only realize that. We don't even have to agree with each other outside the fact we want to make this world better. You can still call us a hippie if you want. That's fine. I'll be a hippie. You know, peace and love to everybody. That's what I want. That's even joking.
They have to want that too.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, any individual can want whatever they like. But it's only if there's a consensus that everybody wants the same thing. You know, and at the moment, not everybody does.
Yep, everybody seems to say they want peace and love. So my thing is throw that peace and love energy out there and keep throwing it out there. And just keep on throwing it out there on a daily basis. Something as simple as a smile. A smile says peace and love as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, that's simple. And then imagine yourself following that smile from one face to the next to see how far it goes. You might be surprised. Somebody might get on an airplane and go all the way across the world and smile at somebody else. Wouldn't that be amazing? You just sent that smile to the other side of the pond. At least that's the way I think about life. I think about not what we can't do. I think about what we can do. I think about like what Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Well, I think we can. And so that's the energy I'm pushing out there. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. Well, Carlene, it's that time to go around the table. We're coming to the top of the hour. It's where we give all the knights a chance to say their piece out here. But before we go, you know, some last words of wisdom. Because it's just you and I today, but this has been a really good show. I really enjoyed hanging out with you.
Yeah.
These shows, they take on a life of their own. That's why I told you, we're going to have fun. You know, that's
you did before we began. You said it's going to go wherever it goes.
Yep. But that's the whole thing. Hey, that's life. We just did what families do. We come together in love and peace and just talking about everything. Sometimes the toughest subjects. You know, when the show's over and the point's made, I started off, like I said, talking about how you know, United States is not a democracy. So stop calling it one. If you keep calling it a democracy, everybody in this world is going to believe it's a democracy. It's not. Alright, it's a technical term. So either way, we're a republic. You got to know what you are. You got to know what your rights are. You got to know whatever government from whatever town or nation you're at, what kind of government you got, what is the do's and the don'ts, because if you don't know your rights, which should be universal. We should all have the same exact rights as far as I'm concerned. But unfortunately, we ain't got there yet. And some people have been able to, you know, keep the king in power longer. But eventually, the kings are going out of style. It's like old King Shaziz the Terrible. I'll be at the job one day. my days are numbered as King Shaziz the Terrible. But you got to know what you powers are. You gotta know what the do's and the don'ts and the rules and all that kind of stuff in order to be able to defend yourself against it. So with that said, Carlene, you got any words of wisdom you want to leave everybody with before we take up out of here?
My words of wisdom would be, you are far more powerful than you have come to believe. That's to everybody. You know, we as a race are far more powerful than we have come to believe.
Well, and I couldn't agree with you anymore. Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you're even remotely inspired or interested in anything that we've said here today, come and join us on the show. become one of the knights just by showing up in any one of these chat rooms, peopleforpeople.ning.com or shazizradio.com or any other affiliated broadcasters or whatever. Just show up in the chat room. That's an honorary knight right there, just showing up in the chat room. You don't even have to get on the radio. Throw you some links down there, ask some questions, be part of the show. This is an interactive show. We work with each other. We talk to each other. We do what families do here every time we come together. If you're inspired by this show, please share the podcast. Share the links. It's all free. You know? Nobody's going to ask for your ID or your wallet or your piggy bank or your debit card or anything like that. Just come here, grab what you need, take it out there, share it with somebody else. That's what it's all about. Information, good smiles and happy and loving and all that kind of jazz. Somebody thinks we're hippies. Well, thank you very much, Carlene. It's been a wonderful show.
It has. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Yeah, everybody.
Enabling me to speak.
Well, hey, you're welcome back anytime. My friend Barbara, she wasn't feeling well today, and I think Patty was... she's busy or something like that, but normally we'll have more people on here and you can join in with them if you like and join us all on another Knights of the Round Table, because we're not done yet. We got lots of content to talk about. We got a lot of things to help solve in this world. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. Take care.
That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to bookwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we've given rise to our quite something able. We're off to bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hey, hey, King Shazir's the Turtle. King Shazir the Turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.